It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Certainly, Ben Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. And today was the day we finally got to hear one Mike Vrabel step out on the in front of the podium and answer fairly vague questions about what's been going on in the offseason with Diana Rossini. There were a couple good ones about whether or not he would miss any time. As a matter of fact, before we get to Tommy Curran, can you just play that one clip, Stiz, if you happen to have it? Because I thought that was one of the better ones, where he was asked whether or not there was going to be anything that prevented him from being with the team this offseason. Do you happen to have that clip, Stiz, by any chance?
It'll take me a couple seconds to pull it up.
Okay, Rich. All right. Because he did answer. The one thing that we were saying about Mike Vrabel is that he would answer the question for about 20 seconds and then just start, like, just saying words. Like, words about players and the way that they would practice and blah, blah, blah. And he would just, with word salad.
It was like when your GPS has a detour that just pops up. Will you accept this? And you hit it and it goes, you go all the way around.
Right. He would just kind of talk for 2 minutes to the point where you kind of forgot what the question was. And that's, I guess, it was either a great technique or it was just he was nervous. I couldn't figure out which one it was, but at least we decided to pull the parachute after the first 30 seconds. Do you have the clip, Stiz?
They ask him if he anticipates missing any more time, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Let's take a listen to his answer.
I mean, I can only tell you I'm going to be there today, Ben. I can't tell you anything other than I'm going to be out there today in full force. And I mean that because, who knows what's going to come up. I'm not even, anything could happen. And so I'm going to focus on today. But in the excitement that we've had and that we've built so far, and the conditioning that we've tried to incorporate into our practices and the weightlifting and all the things that are critical.
Okay, all right. And then at that point, he just continued to go on and start
carpe diem.
Right, just all sorts of weird practice talk. But on the phone with us right now, our good friend, NBC Sports Boston's Tom E. Curran. Tom E., what did you think about Mr. Vrabel and his appearance today?
I wasn't the least bit surprised by what you referenced. I don't know how great the tactic was because it was fairly transparent to me. I fully expected that Mike would be, I think he was concerned. Let's see, how do I make this not a disaster? How about I don't bristle at the questions? Mm-hmm. I'll take them. I will take them on the chin, but I will then redirect to let everybody know that I'm talking about football.
Right.
So
right.
That would be my best strategy here. Acknowledge it. Do not go in depth on it and move to something else. And, for me, it felt Mike is a very, 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 very smart person, a great communicator. But I think that he is very attuned to how people receive him and the message he wants to send. So I think that to me, it's a bit artificial. What he did was very transparent. Why he did it was very transparent. But then on the other hand, by the time I ended my show email, the bottom line is I don't expect him to stand up there and open up a vein. Yeah. He's the head coach of a football team. He's not supposed to be a human in this instance. And if I'm Robert Kraft, I'm looking at that press conference, and if he's up there stammering and stuttering and apologizing and acting like a scalded dog, that's not really the message he needs to send for whatever you're paying him, $10 million a year to coach your football team. He can do that on his own time. But right now, he has to be the person that he chose to be today. If it's fully authentic or not and reflective of what he's going through, I seriously doubt it. But his job is not to open a vein and give us chapter and verse on how things are going at his house.
Ted had a very good observation. And Ted, I want you to say, because I don't want to steal your words, about his mannerisms and what you thought about how he handled himself, Ted.
Oh, I'm just curious the overall kind of tone and tenor and the delivery, Tom, what you thought. I thought, mm-hmm. His light shines bright. He's very gregarious, obviously. And I just thought it was a little bit more toned down, a little bit more muted than it was in the past, maybe a little bit nervous. Did you sense the same thing, or what was your read on just his overall kind of presentation and delivery today?
I did not sense that he was nervous. I did notice, if you played back some of the interview and podium sessions from last year with the media, he was pretty abrupt. He would do it with a smile, but he'd cut us off. He'd interrupt us. He'd get impatient. He'd start shifting around during the questions because he didn't want to hear it. He was a little more patient, I thought, with the questions. Even when he was going back and forth with Giardi a little bit, that was totally joking. He would get impatient with questions, and he didn't do that today, and I thought that that was interesting. But that was – I didn't think he was nervous. I just thought – I thought he was the same guy, except a little bit more patient and engaged with questions and made a better effort instead of being, you know, expectedly arrogant. I mean, we know he's kind of arrogant. That's okay. He's a good guy, but he can be arrogant. He wasn't arrogant.
Tom, do you think it'll – I mean, it's hard to predict the future, but do you think the change in Vrabel, however subtle, will impact the team on the field this year? Do you think it's something to watch if last year was such the year of Mike Vrabel and extracting every bit of talent out of the team he had? Could that be not as impactful this year?
No, I don't think it'll impact the team at all. And honestly, I think whatever Mike Vrabel becomes truly after as a result of this will be a better version of Mike Vrabel. So I think it's only going to, in the end, it's going to end up being like you hit rock bottom in whatever way, and everybody's got different bottoms. You're going to change a little bit. And generally speaking, you're going to change for the better. So he's probably going to be a better, more relatable, more – I just think he'll be a better employee. I really do. I don't know that's going to translate into wins and losses or anything like that, but I think he'll be a better coach.
Yeah, and you can already hear some of the players rallying around him. And, you know, because, I mean, as I said, I mean, these a lot of these guys have gone through something similar, not as public. But, you know, when it comes to...
They've been humbled.
Right, they've been humbled as well. So, I mean, it does make him seem a little more real, I think, to those guys. And I agree with you. I also believe that if they start winning, you know what the players are going to be. It's going to be like, hey, we're doing this for you. We know what kind of offseason you had. I do believe it's going to be like a rallying cry. I really do. I think this is a polarizing thing that can turn everybody
like
against
Spygate,
the team.
Like what happened with Spygate?
Kind of, yeah. I mean,
I think it is a situation that will not be named, referenced, or it's the crazy uncle in the cellar. You are not going to bust that. And I don't see one player saying, "Well, I agree. Mike got done wrong." Just Vrabel would say, "Shut up." There's a lot of people who don't think I got done wrong. And I know them very well, so don't.
Hey, TC, what are you your thoughts on Christian Gonzalez not being there? Does that surprise you? And how do you think that ultimately plays out with Christian Gonzalez in his contract?
I think there's no, and I'm sure you would agree, everybody would agree, there's no effing way that Christian Gonzalez is going to play for $4 million this year. And there's no way he's going to play for $21 million next year, which is the fifth-year option they've already decided to pick up. So next year is 21. This year's like four. It's not happening. So this is the dance. He has been at OTAs. He was not at this one. Is this a message? I don't know. The biggest message he can send is to not be at minicamp. And if he is at minicamp, does he participate? Does he participate with just some of the walkthroughs and drills, or does he actually take reps? This is how it's going to be. I'm not surprised. It's absolutely noteworthy. But there's no way that he's going to play for that contract. Right? I mean,
I agree. I don't think no way. No chance.
We talk about it. We've talked about it for a while. But until the two sides get pressure by the deadline of the regular season, perhaps, he's not going to play for that money.
We've talked about how rare it is for the Patriots to be in this situation where they're going to have to fork over enough money to set the market. Do you believe that that's the kind of deal that he is going to end up agreeing to?
I think he will. He and Devin Witherspoon with the Seahawks are in similar situations. They have the same agent. They're both pursuing contracts. I would imagine that both of them are going to outstrip the best corners right now who are making the highest amount of money, and it being May, it's escaping me. It's not Derek Stingley. Is it who's the dude who just went from Trent McDuffie?
McDuffie,
has the highest deal. So I would imagine that Gonzalez is going to be 33, 34 at least, and I've heard Albert Breer a number of times talk about, I'm going to do my Albert impression. I love Albert. I don't know. Christian might want to be in a situation where and you know what Elliot might say? He always uses the first names of guys.
Elliot's going to say, and that Mike might say, but I think when you look at, he might try and be not just paid as the best corner. Albert has intimated that Gonzalez might want to be paid as one of the better defenders, like an edge guy would be, or a wide receiver might be. And
it just seems so tough with this team, doesn't it? With the Patriots, it just seems, any other team, it almost seems like it's going to happen. But with the Patriots, this is just, it doesn't happen.
I don't know why. I mean, they've had the highest paid guy at any number of positions over the course of time.
I just don't. I don't know. Because it just,
they did. I mean, whether it was Logan Mankins or Vince Wilfork or Gronk was the highest paid for a while, and then he wasn't because he signed a contract that wasn't very smart for him. They'll get it done. What the hard part is the $70 million per year that is coming down the pike for Drake May.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about that, because Ted blew my mind yesterday, because he was, we were trying to predict how much that contract's going to be worth. Cause it's all relative. If you're going to have AJ Brown and you're going to have Christian Gonzalez making the amount of money that he is, and then the kind of cash that's going to be coming Drake May's way, the Patriots are going to be on the hook for a lot of money. So we were trying to figure out just how big this Drake May contract is. And before I tell you what Ted said, I want to know what you think it's going to be.
I would bet at least $600 million.
Okay, how much guaranteed?
I would have to look at what Mahomes' contract was. And
The highest right now is Josh Allen at $250.
$250 guaranteed? Probably about $280 when it gets done. And here's the thing about A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown will be here this year, and he'll be here next year. And then he'll be gone, and then they'll pay Drake May. I mean, he's going to make Brown will make $50 million over 2 years, and then the Patriots will push away from the table, and then May will get his money. So it'll be, I don't think it'll interfere, so to speak.
Ted thinks that the guaranteed money will be what?
I said 400.
It's not 400 crazy. Million. It's not. If he has a seven, like, what's the percentage of the 280? What is the overall value of?
So
330, I think. 250 of the 330.
Oh, crap. Yeah. Well, I guess that's the way you do it. You have it a lower. So maybe it's a $600 million contract. I don't know. He's younger.
$65 million a year for 10 years is $650. So I was thinking the Mahomes, like, you know, you spread it out over 10 years. So, you know, $65 million per year for 10 years, $650. And I don't know, it's $400 to for signing bonuses. I mean,
carry the one.
Yeah, there you go. They're gonna have to pay. It's gonna be fascinating.
How did you see Drake at all on the field today, Tom? And was there any Dobbs magic? Any Romeo Dobbs, Drake May magic on day one?
No. And it's funny because I was listening to our friend Alex Turkish Barth on the sister station, or the rival station earlier.
Brand
X, like,
he
looked good. Well, at least you have a differing opinion. Phil and I were watching it, and it was not what I would call a remarkable practice for Drake May. First 11-on-11 was fine. Second 11-on-11 was choppy. There was a missed communication between Campbell and the fella next to him. An Eastern European name. Wasn't supposed to be there. Something Croatian. And as a result, Elijah Ponder got up into May's face, and May threw a pick. So that was not good. There was a Hunter Henry behind him throw that could have been picked. There was a Lamb Larison miss. It just wasn't a great OTA, but it's an OTA. But it didn't look that great overall.
Maybe he put on too much muscle.
I was right. It's going to be a tough year. We're not going to make the playoffs. It's going to be playoffs.
I love what Ted's saying. Like, Ted's scaring me, but he's making too much sense. He thinks this is a borderline playoff team this year, Tommy Curran.
I do too. I think it's a 10-win team.
There we go. Cool. And Tom agreed with me that you know, the roster is an average roster. I mean, obviously there's positions that are above average, but overall, that's a much improved roster from where it was last year.
I know,
right?
100%. It's improved. It's safety, even though you had Jalen Hawkins and he was good. You've improved there. I don't think linebacker is great. I don't think you improved the defensive line. The edge should be better. Running back should be better. Wide receiver will be a lot better. Tight end you know, there's not a lot of – offensive line should be significantly better if everything comes up the way you hope, which is the biggest key.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Tom, but you and I are big tight end guys. I'm curious because I saw some of the highlights of their third rounder from Notre Dame, and I
– Raritan, yep.
I kind of get excited. I mean, are you? What do you think? What do you see in this kid? Do you, I mean, am I? Is
I get all excited every time he came on it. Every time he came on the field, I'm like Phil Raritan's on, and again, OTA. So he caught one little 8 yard out, so there was nothing to it really. But he moves well. Dobbs moves well. The funny thing about Dobbs and Phil and I both noted this after every play, he was very slow to wander around to the sideline and stuff. He always looks like he's dealing with something, but that's just how he moves. Diggs was like the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah.
So, and the other last observation I'll give you, that wide receiver room absolutely needs A.J. Brown and or Mac Hollins to rejoin them because it looked like a pack of high school juniors out there. They're all about 5'8 to 5'9. Dobbs is actually kind of tall compared to them, but you got Efton Chisholm and Kyle Williams and Pop Douglas, and we all power over them. So they could definitely use an A.J. Brown.
Tommy, we were just talking about what's going to be given up for A.J. Brown, and the speculation is that it's going to be a first-round pick. Are you hearing the same thing, like a 2028 first-round pick? Is that kind of what's going around?
Just the same thing as you guys all are, and I kind of defer to on this national stuff that involves long-standing GMs. You know, the days of the local guys getting it are long gone. So they funnel everything through Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, and they just give the people with the biggest bugle the chance to horn it out. So those guys, and when Adam Schefter says as bluntly and with as much adamance, is that a word, as adamantly as he did last week, it's going to be a 2028 first rounder, I say, all right, well, I guess that's what it's going to be.
Okay,
I don't have a problem with it either.
We were talking about that, and it's like it does seem like they're bidding against themselves. And I know that if you're doing that, you probably wouldn't need to give that up. But then we were imagining a scenario, and tell me if you think this is realistic, where the two teams could meet up and say, listen, we're going to give you a first-round pick, a 2028 first-round pick, and we know that that's a lot. And we will give that to you as long as we don't have any kind of fear that someone's going to swoop in and take this guy. Let's just agree early. Let's agree now in principle and make it happen. Do you see something like that potentially being the agreement that they've been having these past couple months?
I do envision that the two could have a wink and a nod deal in place, but I don't think that that deal looks good if you're from the Eagles side. Jalen Waddle went from the Miami Dolphins to the Denver Broncos for a first-round pick this past year, and a third-round pick. Jalen Waddle is not as good as A.J. Brown. He might be more sturdy in the long term, but he's not as good a player. So if you're Howie Roseman and you're getting back ostensibly a second-round pick, which is how they generally view it, for a player of A.J. Brown's ability, the Patriots aren't getting hosed. The Patriots are getting away pretty good, in my estimation. And your results may vary. Phil Perry, who I love, strongly disagrees that you should be giving up a first-round pick for A.J. Brown, regardless of the year, because that's how you make your team better. But I think that the espresso shot that A.J. Brown can be to the Patriots offense this year is worth it.
Real quick, Tommy, are you surprised Akis, the second-round pick, was a no-show today?
Yes, I was, until I texted Reese. I said, no Akis? He goes, could be an injury. Could be an injury guy. I'm like, oh, could be nursing an injury from the season, still working through something. Okay. So I was surprised. And then I got a nothing to see here text from Reese when I was like, Akis?
real quick before they go, what are your impressions of Lomu? He looks
I
the
thought
part,
he looked
right?
athletic. I thought he looked athletic. He's certainly big. I thought he looked athletic. And it's non-contact. He was on the right side. He split time with Morgan Moses, got in there with the ones. I like the way he looked. And again, they're hitting each other a little bit, just kind of get to each other and shove each other. But I like the way he moved. So that's fun. But he moved okay. So I like the way that looked.
So Tommy Curran, what's your opinion of reporters who ask questions that are two-part questions, one being a tough part and the other one being an easy, you can answer that question instead and get out of having to answer the tough question?
We all wander into that as questioners at times. We all do. My question would oftentimes. See, with Bill, because Bill was the way Bill was, you had to use every qualifier in the question. I understand you just came off the field, and I know that you don't like to compare people. Right. And I know that it's a situation where you might not like to do this, but how did Tom Brady look? Good. Yeah. So you get – it's. I'm not the guy to ask about questions because mine can be absurdly long-winded.
Yeah, we got one of those today. And I know sometimes it can, you know, people can get nervous. It's human nature. But today there was a question. It was like, hey, can you talk about how, like, whether you regret missing the third day of the draft? And, hey, how's Caleb Lomu? It's like,
you
why
guys
would
you choke on your own vomit if you were sitting down there? I love it.
Rich is a pit bull.
I'm a rabble rouser. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you've heard. I get in there
you
and I shake
John
the tree.
Dennis.
That's right. I'm no John Dennis.
I love his question. Very well.
All right, Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston. Great stuff.
Thanks,
it was. It's interesting. I'm glad that Vrabel spoke today, but I'm with Ted 100%. It seems like he's got to get his swagger back. He seems a little less confident, a little bit nervous.
A smidge.
And I think it just winning is what's going to fix that. Not playing. I think winning is what's going to fix that. And hopefully we'll get the old Vrabel back after the beginning of the season. That would be nice.
Honestly, what the hell? Let's just continue to beat a dead horse. Don't stay on.
Sure, let's do it. Why the hell not? That's what we do.
It's reps. It's just being standing on the podium, answering questions. It didn't go too bad. I dealt with it pretty good.
Yep.
F those guys. And then he'll be back to himself.
You're right.
Absolutely. All right, thanks, Tommy Curran. Great stuff. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you again real soon, all right?
See you guys. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Okay. I just learned about something that Ted Johnson right here put my attention to.
No, this is a fake one. Stiz and Jackson.
Are you serious?
Texting me that
you got fleeced again, Teddy.
You got catfished here, buddy.
Hang on. Is this all AI?
AI generated.
Okay, because there was this amazing
world,
back and forth with a Deion Sanders, apparently, and his girlfriend, that there's videos that look just like Deion Sanders saying, so you know what? I want to play it anyway.
What? Come on.
Knowing that it's fake. Hang on, what is it? What are you holding up?
The guy has a sign that says, imagine being dumb enough to think this is real after the whole.
So, Rich, the videos, what you see in, what, like, the quotes of those videos has nothing to do with the video that is being posted.
Once again, I didn't hear anything. I just saw, because there's no sound in here when they click on it. It's just,
my fault.
It has a quote, and it's got a video of him talking. And basically what it was Deion Sanders' girlfriend saying that she wants to get paid a certain amount of money because Deion Sanders can't satisfy her or something like that.
In reality, if you click the video, it's her talking about like beauty products.
Yeah, right. Okay. She's talking about her makeup.
Why would I click the video? I just, you know.
Guys got erection-ed is what happens.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. All right. Well, there you go.
Oh, well.
Well, there was that break. That was going to be a good one, too.
Sox Talk next.
We'll find something to talk about.
Sure. Sox Talk and more Marconi Award-winning content right after this.